this study, as we've so often done in men's classes, where the focus is on sexual purity. Obviously, that's a part of being pure in heart. But I want to take this wider and deeper.
Amen.
And I really came to this from a very personal need to develop deeper convictions about being pure in heart. And so we are going to look at a lot of scriptures, and we're going to really look at what the Bible says. What does God want to tell us tonight about being pure in heart?
Amen.
You know, it says in Matthew 5, verse 8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God."
Amen.
So obviously, that's very important, isn't it? It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Well, what in the world does that mean? I was as a child growing up, confused. What does blessed mean, or blessed? What does it mean?
Happy.
Happy. Yes, happy. That's a great, great word, a meaning for it. It's happy are those pure in heart, for they will see God. It can be fortunate. It can also be a meaning. Or set apart are the pure in heart. It can mean those things as well. In fact, when we look at this scripture, the Greek word for pure is katharos, meaning clean, as in purified by fire. Or, in another example, a branch that has been cut back to bear more fruit. It's been cleaned. Or it can mean free from corrupt desire. Blameless. Innocent is what pure means in this scripture. Other scriptures use the Greek word hagnos, and it is translated in English as pure, but hagnos can also mean sacred, chaste, modest, and clean. So think about that as you're looking at this. Happy, or set apart, or holy are those who are clean, who have been purified.
Amen.
Purity. Pure of heart. Jesus had to address this issue head on with religious people, because there was a lot of confusion about this. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. And let's take a look at what can happen to the religious with purity. In Matthew 15, starting in verse 1, and this will be a fairly lengthy reading, but I think it's important to set the context of what we'll be looking at tonight. "Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, 'Why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat.' Jesus replied, 'And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, "Honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, "Whatever help you might have otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God," he is not to honor his father with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.' Jesus called the crowd to him and said, 'Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that what makes him unclean.' Then the disciples came to him and asked, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?' He replied, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit.' Peter said, Explain the parable to us. 'Are you still so dull? Jesus asked them. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. You see, religious people can get it wrong. You can have the wrong focus. They're all about washing hands and keeping the law, but miss the intent of the Word of God. Missing the point. You see, what Jesus is saying is we got to start from the inside and being pure. Not from the outside. Right. Not just what you can see. It begins from our inward parts of being pure in heart. Let's look at him addressing the same kinds of people in another verse, in Matthew 23, verses 25 through 28. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Religious people. Religious people. Supposedly obeying the law. Jesus looks at the heart and on the inside says, that's what's got to be clean. That is what needs to be pure. That is what we need to address. What is on the inside. And so, I want to ask you, how is your purity? How is your purity? How are things going tonight on the inside?
Come on, Bishop.
Amen.
What's going on in there? You know. You see, you can focus on having the outside okay and being religious and coming across a particular way. But what's going on in here?
Come on.
That is so important as what we will see. They missed the point, and therefore they became hypocrites. That is a real danger for religious people. People who want to claim they know God. People who want to claim they know the Word of God. People want to claim that they are set apart. Your danger is being a hypocrite. Because the inside isn't aligned with God. Wow. How are things going on the inside? You see, the Bible contrasts several things. Do you remember back when you studied the Word of God to become a disciple, you looked at light and darkness? They're on opposite extremes. They don't meet, do they? Well, the Bible talks in a lot of absolute terms. And it is the same with purity. You have the impure and you have the pure. You have the clean and you have the unclean. You have the righteous and you have the unrighteous. They don't mix.
That's right, man.
They don't mix. You have the polluted and the unpolluted, the pure. I encourage you to look at the verses that have these words in them. They are highly impactful. We're going to look at a few. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7, the scripture says, and this is a great memory verse, "For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life."
Amen. Amen.
Isn't it interesting how he says that? You were not called, I was not called to be impure, but rather to live a holy life. That's our calling as disciples, to be pure. In Titus 1, I'm going to start in verse 17. Let's look at some other words that are these contrast words. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Notice the contrasting parts of this scripture. Notice the unspiritual and the spiritual. Notice how he contrasts ungodly with godliness. How he contrasts people who follow natural instincts, like an animal, with someone who is following the Spirit. One without the Spirit. One with the Spirit. Those who are holy, faithful, merciful. And notice very carefully this attitude, this fear and disgust of what has been corrupted by the world. The word stained.
Wow.
Stained. Do we like stains?
No.
No, we spend a lot of money to get stains out of our clothes. We toss stuff that's stained, don't we? We consider it ruined. Notice how he contrasts this. In James 1, verse 27, he says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Amen.
Polluted by the world. What does James mean when he says being polluted by the world? What does he mean?
Stained.
You're stained by the world. How does the world stain us? Literally, what's this influence? What's the process? How does this happen to us? Yes,
The things we watch and the things we listen to.
It gets inside.
The people who we hang around and, you know, just being influenced by sin.
So something's in the world that we're taking and putting in us. That's what I'm hearing you say. There's something in the world we expose ourselves to that corrupts us, that pollutes us. I can remember someone doing this example, and I didn't dare do it here tonight, but they had a glass of water, and they drank it. They drank a sip of it. And then they took an eyedropper or motor oil and put one drop in it and said, you want to drink it? What does it take to become impure?
Just a little bit.
Before it's corrupted, polluted, to where you don't want it. You got to think how God looks at purity.
Keep it real.
How does God look at your purity? have to consider what pollutes us from the world. We cannot be naive. As Alvin was saying, there are so many influences that happen that we expose ourselves to, and it's not intentional. It's that we live in this world. But Satan uses television, internet, radio, books, periodicals, classrooms, work environment. I mean, you can't escape it. You'd have to be totally alone. So we have to be careful about not becoming polluted.
Come on,
and what
man.
We're going to talk about tonight is how can we do that?
Right. How?
Amen.
We've Tell got us. To know how to do that.
Amen.
Amen.
Did you know that the scripture says that our personal ministry is confirmed by our personal purity?
That's right. Mm.
Let's look at it. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. And he's talking about his ministry. And he says, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, in riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything.
Wow.
That's a pure man. That is a man who has something to share with a polluted world. But notice, purity is a part of our ministry.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It confirms our relationship with God.
Yeah.
People can observe it. It can be seen.
Right.
It can be noticed. It can be followed. In 1 Timothy 4:12, he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity.
Amen.
These are all examples that should be set. Notice it said, by young men and older men, by the way, that believers can follow.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You can see someone being pure.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You can watch someone's life and see it. Proverbs 20, verse 11. It says, even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right.
Hello.
You can even tell from a kid whether he's pure or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big wow, is right.
Yeah.
It said, if a kid can be known from that, how much more us?
Mm-hmm.
We are known by our conduct. We are known by our actions. Our purity is visible to others, just as much as our impurity is.
Mm-hmm.
You can see impurity, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know when something's corrupted. You know when something's ruined. What else does the Bible say about being pure of heart? I mean, it's a broad-ranging subject in the Scripture. Let's turn to Psalms 24.
Come on, Steve. Amen.
In Psalms 24, starting verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol and swear by what is false. he will receive a blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Salah. Purity of heart are those, like it said in our first verse, will see God. In Ephesians 5, verse 5, we are reminded that we can be sure no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. If you're impure, forget heaven.
Yep.
Come on.
That's strong, isn't it?
Very strong.
Revelation 21:27 puts the final word on it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
That's good news.
Yep.
That's bad news.
Yep.
Good news, that if we are pure, we're going to be there, and there aren't going to be any pure, impure people with us.
Oh, Bishop.
I kind of like that.
Yep.
I like good company. But what are we saying here? God is sovereign.
Yes.
He is a sovereign Lord, and he's saying, I have standards.
Yep, that's right.
I have standards. I don't let just everybody in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what this is saying. Not everyone can be in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In case you didn't know. We have to be purified by God to get into heaven.
Amen.
And we know this. We have to be purified by the blood of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. No impure person is going to heaven. We must continuously work on our purity. And you know what? Being pure in heart is hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard work.
Yep.
We talked about our constant exposure to the world. We continuously risk being polluted by this world. Every day we are exposed to the world's deadly toxins that get into our hearts and into our minds. The world hits us with those messages that we spoke of. The world tells us, value this, don't value that. This is important, that's not important. And we can get tired of resisting and fighting that attack every day. Have you ever felt that way?
Yes.
Of course, we all have. We've all gotten weak across the line. And our minds start getting confused. And we start, is this real? Why am I doing this? Why am I resisting? Why am I fighting? What is it all for? And we have to come back. We are not the first ones that have ever faced this. I want to go back to David, and let's take a look in Psalm 73 of a man who went through this. And let's look at an example of a guy who worked it out.
Amen.
In verse 1 of Psalm 73, he said, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my footing, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves in violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds knows no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like. Always carefree, they increase in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been plagued. I've been punished every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny.
Amen.
Surely you placed them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory.
Amen.
Whom have I in heaven but you?
Wow.
And earth has nothing I desire besides you.
Amen.
My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Amen.
Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God.
Amen.
I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell all your deeds. It's incredible stuff.
Yeah.
You look at a guy, this is the essence of someone who's had to work it out. Here's someone who's gotten themselves confused, who says, I almost messed up big time, and I am sorry, God, that I even started thinking these ways.
Amen.
But it's true. You can look around and look at all these guys driving the Beamers. Why am I giving this money to church? Look at these guys, the big old fine places. Look at the job. Look at all the time that they don't have for any cares. Look, they're all in shape, and I don't have time to work out. I mean, you start thinking all these crazy thoughts. Why do I keep myself pure? You know, they don't live. It's all working out for them. And we start having these kinds of thoughts. But you need to come back to your senses. That's what the scripture says. You have some stinking thinking. It's wrong. That's not reality.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is reality. They are going to be destroyed. They are. It's an illusion. That's not the real life. They don't have it all together like what you're supposing. Let's look at another scripture. Let's look at some examples of being pure in heart. You need to see what it looks like. You kind of need to have a picture of being pure in heart to understand what to imitate.
Amen. Right?
Amen.
Let's look at that. We need to investigate what are the attitudes of being pure in heart. And so I'm going to read a few scriptures, and then we're going to talk about it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So in Psalm 51, let's take a look at that. And I want you to hear, these are emotional scriptures. These are emotional passages because it has to do with the heart.
Yep.
It has to do with the battle. It has to do with this fight that we're in a world that's trying to pollute us.
Right.
That's trying to kill us with deadly toxins. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother deceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise.
Amen.
I want you to go back to this later. Now I want you to contemplate the attitudes of this heart. Notice the hatred of the sin, and we are all sinners. Notice the attitude of how this person wants to be right with God. How they pray for a new heart. Psalm 119 will give us another view into a pure heart.
Well, Bishop,
we're only going to read a section from verses 1 through 16. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong, they walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word.
Amen.
Pure in heart. These two are talking about attitudes towards sin, attitudes towards God's word. How do you get a pure heart? How do you keep one? You follow the example in these scriptures. Pray for one. You've got to pray for a pure heart. You pray that God works on you to change you. It is a transformation process. It isn't natural to any of us. We're not born with pure hearts in the sense that we just keep it and it stays there forever. No, that's why we needed Christ.
Amen.
We must learn the Word of God. That's what he's talking about in Psalms 119. We need to put it in here. We need to put it in here. Mm-hmm. And he says, not only learn it, we have plenty of scholars who are ungodly men. Mm-hmm. He says, you have to obey it.
Amen. That's right.
You need to understand it. You need to obey it. And then further, he says, not to neglect it.
Yes.
That's the danger. So often we get away from the Word of God. We neglect it. and we become impure. Because it's not top of heart, top of mind. We have to seek God with all our heart. Think about how we sought Him when we first became disciples. That's the beginning point. That's just the beginning of seeking God. Just the beginning. To have a pure heart and to keep a pure heart, we need to think about the right things. It's incredible to me that God knows my thoughts. He knows my heart. He knows what I spend my time thinking about. What's important to me. And that's why it's so important to consider what we are putting into our minds. In Proverbs 15, verse 26, the scripture says, "The Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but those of the pure are pleasing to Him." The Lord knows what we're thinking. And this is the frontier that is so challenging, is controlling our thoughts.
Right.
Our purity depends on us controlling our minds. Let me tell you, you need to get in the fight on this. We all need to get in the fight on controlling our thoughts.
Amen.
In Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." There are things we need to put our minds on, and when there's things we need to take our minds off. I don't know about you, but the most deadly time for me is when I'm not really thinking. I am not using my brain. Then all kinds of weird stuff pops into it. And I must control my mind.
Amen.
I need to focus it. You know what's interesting? In Titus 1, we're told in verse 15, "To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupt and do not believe, nothing is pure." It's how you think.
But
if you're corrupted, everything's corrupted. You just assume nasty. You just think nasty. It's just what comes up. If you're corrupted, that's the difference between something that's polluted and something that's pure. It says, in fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. You see, our minds can be focused on either the beautiful or the ugly. The focus is up to you. It's up to me. We've got to be careful about this. You see, being pure in heart is something we must stay on top of. Listen to Paul's admonition in this scripture in Philippians 2, verses 12 through 16. He says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe."
Come on.
"As you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing."
Amen.
You can shine like a star in this generation, which is crooked and depraved, if you are pure in heart.
Amen.
You can hold out the word of life, or you can be a part of a crooked and depraved generation.
Lord.
You and I have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because many things will be thrown in our way. And it doesn't go away, guys. We have to keep our focus. Finally, I want you to listen to John. in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. He says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are.
Amen.
The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we will be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure.
Amen. Amen.
Brothers, let us be pure in heart.
Amen.
So we can see God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. We're done.